Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's your favorite cover song, Sports Jamie Wall?
I'm going to say Johnny Cash, but it's not the Johnny Cash song you're thinking
of. Ah.
On the same album that he did Hurt.
American Man 3.
Yeah, American Man 3. He also did a cover of Simon Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Yeah, it's good, eh? Yeah.
And I quite like that one.
He does a good cover of Desperado by the Eagles as well.
Yeah. I'm going to say anyone who covered Bob Dylan like did a pretty good job as well. Also, I'm going to say the band's cover of Baby Don't You Do It, which is originally Marvin Gaye. Song also covered by Stevie Wonder as well. There's a few other versions of that that are all really good. I think The Who did one as well, and it's the song that they opened the Last Waltz movie with.
Gee, you're a man of taste and wisdom, aren't you?
Yeah. So I'd say any version of Baby Don't You Do It, including the original, is up there.
Great shout. That was great. I mean, I wasn't expecting all of that to come pouring out. What a way to start.
Well, I was telling you before, I was thinking, I've got one. It's in the back of my mind somewhere. That's what it was.
I think any cover of Bob Dylan's pretty good as well, because I don't really rate Bob Dylan. I think Leonard Cohen should have won the Nobel Prize before him. Way before him, actually.
Yeah.
And
the fact that Bob Dylan was kind of actually a bit of a sellout, really. He knew what he was doing the whole time. He still does, I guess.
jamie.wall@rnz.co.nz is the email address to which to
reach. Oh, no, don't do this again. I've already got people in my case about the Dunedin thing. Jeez.
Let's talk sport. And shall we begin with a bit of football?
Yeah, why not?
And a lack of patriotism, allegedly.
Well, yeah, it's interesting when you mention this one, because I had to do a bit of homework on the whole this one. Emil wanted me to talk about Ben White, who's an English defender. Mm-hmm. Well, he's a defender who doesn't want to play for England. I thought, well, that's interesting. It's like not niche topic. And then I thought, I wonder why he's so keen to talk about this one. It's because he plays for Arsenal, isn't it?
Well, it's partly because he plays for the greatest football club in the world.
Yeah, okay. And he rates playing for Arsenal more than he does above his country.
Well, I think that's the interesting potential element to this. So Ben White, okay, setting the scene. Ben White is a defender for Arsenal Football Club, the greatest football club in the world. And he's been playing really well for a couple of years. Really, really well. He's had sort of not a rags-to-riches story, but he's come up through the divisions and he's been playing superbly for Arsenal, who are top of the table in the Premier League at the moment. And so naturally, with the Euros on the horizon, the European Football Championships, which are happening in the winter in New Zealand, he gets called up to the English senior squad. But Ben White has had a bit of a rough time with the English setup in the past. And so when he was called up for this, he turned it down. He said, I'm all good. I don't want to get called up for this. And some people said, well, that's Ben White's decision. And if he wants to focus on his football and not play for England, then that's his decision. And other people said, such as Daily Mail columnist Jeff Powell, if my father was still alive, he would be mortified to know that White plays for the Gunners, not through any affiliation to Arsenal, but because he fought through the Second World War in the Royal Artillery.
Yeah.
You know, that it's a disgrace to the nation and Ben White should never be able to show his face in public again. And I find that tension just fascinating.
Yeah, but a context, though. So the game that he's pulled himself, or the games that he's pulled himself out of, international friendlies.
Yeah.
And given that the Euros are on later this year, they mean very little other than perhaps giving some new guys a run. They played Brazil over the weekend. Yes, there was like 90,000 people in Wembley to watch it, and they cared about the result and everything, but ultimately it really doesn't matter. So he's not the first one to do it.
He's definitely not the first
one
to do it.
And also, he took the opportunity to go on a holiday with his wife.
He did.
And seeing pictures of her, I don't blame him, to be honest. So, but really though, you're right. It has kind of been wrapped up in this kind of nationalist sentiment about the honour of playing for your country. And I feel like the English football team does kind of carry a bit of that with it, given how politically precarious the situation is at the moment. If you remember at the last Euros, you know, they came out and they tried to stand for, well, no, they did stand for multiculturalism, you know, just people speaking their mind.
They took the knee before.
They took the knee. Yeah. It was before the, I hate bringing this word up, but the, you know, woke became an insult. And they almost won the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame they didn't, because if they had, it might have made a real difference in the way that this story is getting handled, and also any sort of story about them. You know, you see a lot of players like Marcus Rashford, for example, who's a very socially conscious guy, get criticised an awful lot, pretty unfairly, I think. And even something as kind of benign as this, where a guy... And let's face it, like, this happens all the time. This happened to New Zealand, like the All Whites over the weekend, who also played against Egypt, and they had their best player. Well, both teams did, actually, because Mo Salah wasn't playing for Egypt, and Chris Wood wasn't playing for the All Whites. And both of those guys have some pretty dubious injury claims. And it's pretty obvious that their respective clubs, who are at opposite ends of the ladder, it must be said, clearly want them to be fit for the next game, don't want to be taking any chances with them. So there's that side of things where people kind of don't really have an issue with. But because Ben White has come out and been like, I just don't kind of really feel like I want to do it, I don't want to play these meaningless games, it's kind of meant that the manager, Gareth Southgate, had to say, well, you're never going to play for this team ever again.
Well, I'm the manager,
which is a bit harsh, really. One other thing, though, just before we leave the topic. Having to look this up, it sent me down a bit of a rabbit hole. And I saw what the other defender in the team, Kyle Walker, what he's been getting up to as well.
Yeah.
Jeepers.
Well, maybe that's one for Nights After Dark.
Yeah.
You can Google that if you like. This is, however, a family show. I mean, on that.
Well, he's got a. That's the thing. It's about his family and the amount of kids that he's got with the amount of women that he's. Oh, anyway, I've said too much.
I mean, on that wider theme of, do you care if a player, particularly in a sport where you can earn a lot of money playing for your club and the clubs tend to pay the wages, do you care if players put club ahead of country, as it were?
If we're talking football, not really.
Rugby?
Rugby's different because they're probably making more money playing for the All Blacks than if we're talking about the All Blacks. Rugby's financial model is you wouldn't not play for your test side because that you make more money.
Changing though, right? Europe, Japan.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's like any All Black who goes overseas to play in Japan or Europe is giving up their All Black. So, you know, hundreds of them have done it in the last, you know, 25 years. Mm. So you can't begrudge those guys for simply wanting to make, you know, prolong their careers and play. So I guess there is a bit of a similar one there, but this is more like that this guy just said, I just don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people have responded to. And I think that's what that column that you brought up, it makes it easier to sort of play the whole generational card and say, well, like, oh, young people these days just aren't patriotic and don't want to do their bit. It's like, come on, mate. It's a football game. Like, there's another guy out there who jump in his spot. You know, it's ultimately he's harming his own international career, sure. But if he just wants to focus on Arsenal winning the Premier League, and they do, that's what people are going to remember him for.
Let me ask you this: one of the reasons I think that international football used to be held up as like the highest level of football. It's now popularly understood to really not be. You know, league football, and particularly European football, is considered overall to be of a much higher standard than international football. That probably isn't the case in rugby, although, I don't know, do you think that it is? Do you think international test rugby is still the highest level of rugby?
I agree with your point. I think the World Cup, the Football World Cup, is still the highest achievement a footballer can can make.
But the best club team, the best club team in the world, I think, would always beat the best international team.
Yes, yes. And that's just simply because those international teams only ever have
exactly
a week at a time together. But rugby-wise, it's a bit harder because they have more time. The international season, like test seasons, mean something.
Because international is so front and centre, yeah.
Absolutely. So it's kind of hard to compare. But when you kind of weigh up, like, okay, what do these international matches mean for football? It's a bit easier to understand why a guy like Ben White would rather go sit on the beach with his wife, especially when she looks like that.
Come on. All right, let's move on. Auckland has an A-League team.
Yeah, well, let's keep with the round ball going, eh, shall we?
Yeah, it's why not?
Yeah, they've come out and named their team. They called it Auckland FC. Cool. No, but what I do like about this is that they've kind of suggested the nickname the Black Knights, but they haven't officially
given it.
So I think what they're doing is they're giving that over to the fans or the potential fans to adopt for themselves and just sort of nudge them in that direction. I kind of like that. I kind of like they haven't thrown something on people and said, this is what you're going to call them. We've chosen the blandest name possible. Now it's up to you to make it creative. They got off to a little bit of a rocky start with the way they promoted themselves because the Phoenix played up here at Eden Park last weekend. Mm-hmm. Had a good win over Sydney FC.
Undefeated in Auckland, the Phoenix.
So, yes, yes, there's a big bit of a narrative there. They'll be wanting to keep that going, obviously. Mm-hmm. And a guy in an Auckland FC shirt ran on the field.
Yeah.
And since then, it's like, okay, where did he get that shirt so quick? Who put him up to it?
Industry plant.
Well, it's interesting because we went to the Blues the next day. We're having an old boys breakfast in the lead up to the game against Crusaders that happened on the weekend. And, of course, one of the new owners of this Auckland side is Ali Williams, a former All Black, mm-hmm. who had quite a long association with football.
Goalkeeper.
All throughout his teenage years. And he was really not happy to see the media there that day because it was the day after that happened. So I'm not accusing him of anything there, but it was just kind of interesting that he didn't really want to talk to us that day. I'm just putting it out there. So it was an interesting start to their marketing. It's really interesting as well because the Phoenix have really kind of bought into slagging them off on social media, and they're quite keen to get this rivalry off to a good hot start, months before a ball's getting kicked. So they're already starting to hype up the first game between these two teams, which I presume will be in Auckland to open the next A-League season.
Should be fun, eh?
Oh, I think it's going to be great fun, and I think that the teams have embraced it in the right kind of way, which is we're going to have a lighthearted kind of go at this and leave the serious stuff to the guys on the field.
Couple of minutes left, and the future of provincial rugby games on New Zealand television up in the air.
Yeah, it is up in the air. Actually, it's something that we kind of got telegraphed to us. When I say us, I mean the sports media a while back, last season during the actual NPC itself. It's the provincial competition is played in front of much sparser crowds these days, and much lower TV audiences, mainly because it's essentially just a development competition these days. And putting a game on at a stadium like Eden Park or a Sky Stadium in Wellington just costs an awful lot of money for what they're getting out of it. And so the trend is looking to move these games to smaller venues, perhaps not televise all of them. There are a few options available to NZ Rugby on this. They do own their own content platform now, NZR Plus, and it could be a potential way of getting some games on that. But really, it sort of just shows that the market at the moment for rugby is just really saturated, and perhaps it's just sort of maybe taking it away off TV and encouraging people to go along, take their kids, take their families to something that's held at a much smaller ground is probably the way forward for provincial rugby, which is a shame, in my opinion, because that's what I grew up with and I love it.
It's just times have just changed so quickly. Like, I was just Googling then to bring up, because I wasn't sure of the year. I'm sure I've sent you the highlights of this before, Otago versus Waikato, 1998.
Yeah.
NPC final at Carisbrook, the Brook, the glorious Brook. Otago with a team stacked full of All Blacks. Yes. Running roughshod over a...
Well, the Waikato team stacked with All Blacks.
Yeah, they were pretty
as
good
well.
Team.
And that's why there's so many people there.
But the it's nuts, man. The crowd is just huge. They're all waving flags and stuff. It's a seat. It looks like an English football crowd.
It absolutely did. And I remember going to Athletic Park in Wellington and having similar sized crowds for what was at the time a very average Wellington team. Yeah. You know, you could count on them coming sixth every year, but people would show up to that. You're right. Times have changed. People just have other things to do on the weekend now, unfortunately. But I think the lesson here is that if you keep taking things away from a sporting competition, people are going to notice. Mm. And that's what's happened, unfortunately, in the NPC.
Jamie Wall, always nice chatting sport with you. Thank you.
Cheers, brother.
This is Jamie Wall, our sports correspondent. And Jamie will be back in a few more weeks to chat sport.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.